The time is 1 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo. In the headlines, National Peace Council to begin conscientizing supporters of political parties to accept verdict of Supreme Court. Parliament approves tax waivers related to construction of Adan coastal protection work. Local Government and Rural Development Ministry refuse reports on rejection of MCEs by assemblies. AU to form 3,600 peacekeeping force to stabilize Central African Republic. And Israel to release Palestinian prisoners as part of peace deal. First, a summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The National Peace Council has started conscientizing supporters of various political parties to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court in good faith. The executive director of the West African Network for Peace Building, who is also a member of the Peace Council, Emmanuel Bombandi, said Ghana is greater than any political party and there is no need to cause harm to derail the peaceful nature of the country. Parliament has approved the request for some tax waivers amounting to €39,630,000 in relation to the second phase of the construction of Ada coastal protection work. The chairman of the committee, James Avedi, says the construction will help the people of Adafwa and its surroundings since they have suffered from severe erosion. The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development has refuted reports that many municipal chief executives nominated by President Mahama have not been confirmed. Speaking to Radio Ghana, its Deputy Minister Emmanuel Kwejo Ejekum said a large number of the nominees have been confirmed and only a few rejected. And the AU is to form a 3,600 peacekeeping force to stabilize the Central African Republic. Secretary of the Union's Peace and Security Council, Admiral Kambunji, said an existing regional peacekeeping mission known as the MI-COPAX will be rolled into the new force from August. He said its mandate will also include protecting civilians and restoring the government in the Central African Republic.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The National Peace Council says beyond the National Peace Summit, it will start building national dialogue among the two major political parties to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court, whichever way it goes. A member of the council and executive director of the West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi, dropped a hint in an interview with Radio Ghana. He said Ghana is greater than any political party, hence they need not do anything that will derail the current peace.
I think it was an overwhelming success because the message has gone out there and the message is compelling. So it's not because there was a doubt whether or not Ghanaians want peace, but we needed to affirm it publicly. And from the cross-section of the representatives of various groups, you heard that loud and clear. So what now we need to do is to continue to let people know that because the country is greater than all of us and that we must do what we must be able to do in our capacity to uplift Ghana so that all of us then individually and collectively can be uplifted. We now need to remind ourselves that even in the community, if somebody is doing anything that might bring the country backwards, that person should be reminded about the messages of today. So for me, this is significant. And I think it has mobilized us sufficiently and it has been able to propel us to ensure that we continue.
Do you still have other activity to censor the people before the outcome of the verdict?
Yes, after this now, the question about how do we engage in the national dialogue? As the Peace Council Chairman talked about George and not war. We now need to frame that so that we can begin to see a rapprochement and a bridging of the political divide so that the divide in itself, which has become negative, can turn around and be positive. And it doesn't matter which political side any Ghanaian supports, that we see ourselves first and foremost as Ghanaians. And I think that's the type of work we need to do after this.
A member of the National Peace Council and Executive Director of West African Network for Peacebuilding, Emmanuel Bombandi. Meanwhile, the MPP and NDC say they have started conscientizing their supporters to accept the outcome of the Supreme Court ruling. The campaign manager for the MPP in the 2012 election, Bwachi Ejiakor, told Radio Ghana that the General Secretary of the party, Kuju Osuefie, is on a nationwide tour to sensitize supporters.
Already, the party has agreed on some guidelines as to how we should react. The general secretary is going around the country. He's already done 6 bridges, 4 more to go, and make sure that through our structures, we inform all our party members for them to comport themselves and behave properly. We do believe that in terms of all the prayers that the pastors and the badges and all the people of Ghana are praying, we will indeed have peace. We're working towards that. We do believe that there will be no untoward events happening after the judgment.
Campaign manager for the MPP in the 2012 election, Bwachi Ejiakor. The national organizer of the NDC, Yao Boatijan, says the party is also moving from region to region to educate their supporters not to resort to violence if the case goes against the NDC.
We have run out a program to tour all the regions to advise our activists from the regional level up to the branch level. Conscientize them on the need for them to avoid resorting to violence and any other means when the ruling goes against us. And the law is there to deal with those people who will misbehave.
You say you have rolled out a program to conscientize your members. In which form?
The regional and the constituency and even some branch executives, some opinion leaders. And we are bringing in these opinion leaders because they are the ones who will have to advise the youth most especially and the other activists to refrain from resorting to this violence.
National organizer of the NDC, Yao Boatijan. A member of the NDC communication team who was jailed for contempt of court at the ongoing election petition hearing, Stephen Atubiga, has also asked supporters of the two major political parties and the public not to undermine the Supreme Court's ruling but accept the final verdict in good faith. Speaking at the National Peace Summit, Mr. Atubiga said the court is the only body that can protect the country's democracy.
I would want to say that the Supreme Court is the only credible, legitimate structure that is left right now to protect the democracy that we have. We should not also undermine the integrity of their verdict. Being a victim of putting out irrespectful and unresponsible, we people that speak for political parties communicate to the people of Ghana, we owe a responsibility. The reason is, if all good people of Ghana that have gathered here and the message that has been given by responsible fathers of ours and we do not transcend it to where we come from, then we will defeat the purpose of being here. I want to say Ghana first before any political party, Ghana first before any leader. We have to put the interests of Ghana first. Let us respect the verdict of the Supreme Court.
A member of the NDC communications team, Stephen Atubiga, and still talking peace, the national secretary of the Zongo Muslim Caucus, Alhaji Alhassan Bene, has challenged Muslim youth not to allow themselves to be used as vessels to cause confusion after the Supreme Court ruling on the election petition. His challenge follows the National Youth Summit, which saw the youth wings of the political parties pledging not to promote violence but accept the Supreme Court verdict no matter what. Alhaji Bennett told Radio Ghana that the Zongo Muslim Council has rolled out a plan to visit every mosque to educate the youth not to accept any offer or inducement from anybody to take up arms.
I will advise our Muslim brothers and sisters in the Zongos to behave well and not to do anything that will jeopardize the peace in the country. We've gone a very long way, and as you know, in the political parties, we have the Muslim caucus in the NDC called the Zongo caucus and the National Club in the MPP. That's also standing for the Muslims and the Zongos. I think these two bodies should behave very well at the verdict. They should not be forced by anybody or encouraged by anybody to misbehave. Any time there's a problem, it's the Muslim boys and the girls who come onto the street and they should stop. So know that we have now grown out of age and we are doing things properly.
Apart from appealing to their conscience,
yeah,
do you have any plan to go to the communities to conscientize them?
Yes. We think we in the NDC, the Zongo caucus of the NDC, will start by going to the mosque. We decided that we'll visit the mosque after prayers. We'll tell the imams to start talking to our boys to realize that the verdict will be coming very soon, and any side it goes, we should accept it.
Your view about this summit?
This summit, I think, is very, very good, and it has come at the right time. And what I was thinking was that if you know the problem is caused by a group of people, I think the Zungos should have been invited, well represented in this summit.
National Secretary of the Zungo Muslim Caucus, Alhaji Alassan Bene. And now to Parliament, which has approved the request for some tax waivers amounting to €39,630,000. The waivers relate to the implementation of the second phase of the construction of the Adan Coastal Protection Works. They include customs duty, VAT edif, ECOWAS levy, destination inspection fees, withholding tax liabilities, and corporate income taxes. Presenting the report of the Finance Committee for the approval of the waivers, the chairman of the committee, James Aveji, said the coastal towns of Adanfo and its surrounding villages have suffered from severe sea erosion for a very long time. This, as said, has resulted in the destruction of public buildings, schools, roads, residences and factories. Dominic Longi and Augustus Okwe have more.
The chairman of the Finance Committee, James Aveji, said due to the rapid threat of the ravaging seawater, the Ministry of Water Resources, Works and Housing assessed the impact of the erosion and proposed interventions to address the problem. Hence, the sourcing of €67 million from PNB Paribas Bank for the construction of the first phase of the coastal protection project. Mr. Afeji explained that the second phase of the project is to support emergency measures to stabilize the coastline against further erosion, loss of property, and flooding in critical areas from the western end of the first phase of work. He said the Ministry of Finance has presented to the House for approval another loan agreement between the Republic of Ghana and the Cooperative Central Refisien Boreleen Bank of Belgium for an amount of €183,387,000 to finance the construction of the second phase of the Adan Coastal Protection Works. The Ministry of Water Resources, Works and Housing consequently entered into an agreement with Dredging International Services, Cyprus and International Marine and Dredging Consultants for the execution of works for the second phase. As part of the agreement, government is obliged to exempt the contractor and his subcontractors from the payment of taxes, levies, and duties on materials, equipment, plant, vehicles, spare parts, income, local purchases, and other items.
A report by Dominic Longi and Augustus Okwe. Still in Parliament, the Majority Leader, Dr. Benjamin Kumbor, has assured Parliament of the use of their new office complex, also known as the Job 600, by the end of October this year. He said this in a brief remark on the floor of Parliament to mark the end of the 8-week sitting of the House. He said other renovation works are expected to be carried out as the House goes on recess.
I wish all colleague members of Parliament travelling message to their constituencies and that we should see them back in October. I am aware of the huge responsibilities that await you at your constituencies during this recess. Challenging as some of these responsibilities might be, I trust you will not relent in serving your constituents. It is anticipated that major work issues on Job 600 and the reconfiguration of the chamber will commence in earnest and should certainly be completed before the House reconvenes in October. God willing, it is actually our view that honorable members in the third sitting will have the opportunity to have respectable offices to carry out their parliamentary work.
Majority Leader Dr. Benjamin Kumbor, for his part, Minority Leader Osei-Che Mensah-Bonsu commended MPs for the efforts put into the work of the House during the short period they sat. He tasked them to prepare in earnest their budget for 2014, since this is to allow the legislature to be properly funded next year.
Speaker, undoubtedly we have had a very eventful meeting, and I hope that every member in this House has had a fruitful discourse during these 2 months of this meeting, and all of us must share in the commendation for the efforts put in. Because several bills have been passed in this House. Notable among them are the Communication Service Tax Amendment Bill, the Value Added Tax Amendment Bill, the National Fiscal Stabilization Levy Bill, and the Ghana Investment Promotion Center there. The speaker, three ad hoc committees were constituted in this second meeting. One of such committees is to recommend to Parliament the appointment of an auditor to audit the accounts of the Office of the Auditor General. It is refreshing to note that Mr. Speaker and leadership have agreed to fashion a program for the review of the standing orders during recess. I pray that that task will be accomplished in earnest. Mr. Speaker, it is my heart's desire that God will grant you wisdom and grace to be as just and impartial as possible to guide the House in the discharge of our duties. The angels would indeed be excited in a very profound manner, Mr. Speaker. Yes. Preparatory works for Parliament's budget will start in August. Let me entreat the leadership of the various committees to earnestly begin to fashion a program for the next year and cost save so that the budget office could input this into Parliament's budget for 2014. The various committees have not been resorting to this path for a very long time. Let them begin from a new platform this time.
Minority Leader Osechi Mensa Bonsu, in his closing remarks for the end of the second meeting of Parliament, the Speaker, Edward Dowajaho, was full of praise for his deputies and the leadership of the House for the cooperation and cordial manner in which parliamentary business was carried out.
Honourable members, you will agree with me that this House deserves commendation for successfully concluding the business for the meeting. We were able to pass the Ghana Investment Promotion Center Bill into law. After much strenuous and diligent work involving wide consultation with the stakeholders, let me express my sincere gratitude to you for your support and cooperation. I have continued to have the able support of my two deputies in steering the affairs of the House. I am also grateful to the leadership of the House for the unflinching support. I also recall with admiration the support of the clerk and his staff, the parliamentary press corps, and indeed all those who had worked behind the scenes for the success of this meeting. I am grateful to God for giving us the strength and good health to accomplish our mission for this meeting. As we leave the presence of Parliament for our respective homes and constituencies, I pray to the Almighty God to grant us all traveling mercies and shield us till we meet here again soon. On this note, I wish honorable members an enjoyable recess. This House now stands adjourned. Sine die.
You heard Speaker of Parliament Edward Dowajaho closing the second meeting of the sixth Parliament. The House is expected to reconvene on Tuesday, October the 22nd. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: National Peace Council to begin concientizing supporters of political parties to accept verdict of Supreme Court. Parliament approves tax waivers related to construction of Ada coastal protection work. Local government ministry plays down reports on rejection of MCEs by assemblies. AU to form 3,600 peacekeeping force to stabilize Central African Republic, and Israel to release Palestinian prisoners as part of peace deal. Please stay tuned.
A little bit of self-restraint will always ensure that the country which was given to us through the blood and toil of our ancestors is a country that we must cherish, that we must protect, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of generations yet unborn.
People of Ghana, let us together celebrate the life of Professor Atta Mills, our third president of the Fourth Republic.
24th July 2013 is that day in the life of Ghana, and commemorating the first anniversary, the planning committee on the 21st July would hold a choral concert to mark his 69th birthday at the National Theatre at 3 p.m.
On Monday the 22nd July, there will be the launch of the Atamills Foundation, followed by the first ever Atamills Memorial Lecture at the International Conference Center at 3 p.m.
On Wednesday, 24th July, that day in the life of Ghana at 1 p.m., there will be a remembrance and a wreath laying ceremony at the Asomdwoe Park to mark the exact hour of the passing of Professor Mills.
In the afternoon of the day, there will be an international hockey gala competition which pushes at 4 o'clock p.m.
On Friday, the 26th July, there will be Muslim prayers for the repose of the soul of Professor Mills. On Saturday, the 27th July, the foundation stone for the construction of the Atta Mills Memorial Research Library shall be laid at 9 a.m. in Cape Coast. On the same day, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will hold special services throughout the country.
On Sunday, the 28th July, the commemoration will be climaxed with a non-denominational church service at the Robert Mensah Stadium, Sudu Park, Cape Coast, Ghana. Let us celebrate a life well lived.
Ghana will be able to move forward in leaps and bounds, and Ghana will continue to be a beacon to the rest of Africa.
Professor Mills, forever in our heart.
Welcome back. A Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Emmanuel Kojo Ejekum, has refuted reports that many municipal chief executives nominated by President Mahama have not been confirmed. Mr. Ejekum said rather a large number of the nominees have been confirmed, with only a few rejected. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Ejekum explained some of the problems that might have accounted for the rejections. He advised Assembly members to consider the pending developmental works and confirm the nominees for government business to go on.
It's a generic statement that people are saying that a lot have not been confirmed. But I can assure you that if you look at the figures, we've managed to go through most of them. And let me say that a lot of consultations were made from the local level up to the national level for us to be.
So what really accounts for the rejection of some of these nominees? To the extent that even somewhere in the north, party property were destroyed.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard that the party car was there. But these things, it could be a whole lot of factors. There are specific calls, specific cases that might have happened in different areas. Some probably is as a result of those old MMDCs might have probably had a few problems with assembly members or a few of the assembly members that might have resulted in their rejection. Apart from that, it may happen that some people expected were not mentioned. So definitely in politics, these things do happen.
What message do you have for the assemblies with regard to the nomination of MMDC so that the issue of rejection is minimized or even avoided altogether?
What I can say is that we should all look at the development of the country, the development of the municipal, metropolitan, and district assembly, and collectively try to support government to be able to, do government business. By so doing, I will urge honorable assembly members to look at what the president has done. And what I do tell people is that the president actually knows a lot of things that happens on the ground, and therefore the nominations he has made, we should try and stick to that, because these are the people that we believe are competent enough to be able to do the job.
Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Emmanuel Kojo Ejekum, talking to Agatha Samoa. Sharing his thoughts on the issue, the Director of Research of the Institute of Local Government Studies, Eric Udru, noted that the rejection of some of the nominees is an indication that the people are beginning to understand democracy and decentralization.
People are now discerning, they are now beginning to appreciate and understand local democracy. They are beginning to understand local government and decentralization. You know, when these chief executives are nominated, it is up to the district assembly to approve such nominations. And these assembly members are made up of elected assembly members and appointed assembly members, out of which the chief executive is expected to attract or to obtain two-thirds majority. Now, if an assembly decides not to confirm a particular president's nominee, what it then means is that they don't approve of the person to be able to lead the assembly to bring the needed development. Second aspect of it is that these assembly members, especially the elected ones, represent the people from the electoral areas. So the mandate they are exercising are the mandate of the people from the electoral areas. The appointed members are expected to represent interest groups and also the president. So then, if together they are not able to secure two-thirds, then it means there is something fundamentally wrong with the whole system.
And that was Director of Research of the Institute of Local Government Studies, Eric Odro. The Eastern Regional Director of Education, Adraina Kandilenge, has advised students to make profitable use of ICT to fish out information in order to build on their knowledge and excel. They should also use information on the internet to realize their full potential and not for fraud, pornography or other vices. She gave the advice in a message during the handing over of an ICT center for the Trump MAJHS by the USAID Transition and Persistence Projects to the GES at Trom in the New Jabe Municipality. We take a short break.
Electoral merit of self-restraint will always ensure that the country which was given to us through the blood and toil of our ancestors is a country that we must cherish, that we must protect, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of generations yet unborn.
People of Ghana, let us together celebrate the life of Professor Atta Mills, our third president of the Fourth Republic.
24th July 2013 is that day in the life of Ghana, and commemorating the first anniversary, the planning committee on the 21st July would hold a choral concert to mark his 69th birthday at the National Theatre at 3 p.m.
On Monday the 22nd July, there will be the launch of the Atta Mills Foundation, followed by the first ever Atta Mills Memorial Lecture at the International Conference Center at 3 p.m.
On Wednesday, 24th July, that day in the life of Ghana at 1 p.m., there will be a remembrance and a wreath-laying ceremony at the Asumdje Park to mark the exact hour of the passing of Professor Mills.
In the afternoon of the day, there will be an international hockey gala competition which pushes at 4 o'clock p.m.
On Friday, the 26th July, there will be Muslim prayers for the repose of the soul of Professor Mills. On Saturday, the 27th July, the foundation stone for the construction of the Atta Mills Memorial Research Library shall be laid at 9 a.m. in Cape Coast. On the same day, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will hold special services throughout the country.
On Sunday, the 28th July, the commemoration will be climaxed with a non-denominational church service at the Robert Mensah Stadium, Sudu Park, Cape Coast. Ghana, let us celebrate a life well lived.
Ghana will be able to move forward in leaps and bounds, and Ghana will continue to be a beacon to the rest of Africa.
Professor Mills, forever in our heart.
And in international news, the AU will form a 3,600-strong peacekeeping mission for Central African Republic to step up efforts to stabilize the country. The Secretary of the AU's Peace and Security Council, Admiral Kamunzi, said an existing regional peacekeeping mission known as MICOPAX will be rolled into the larger new force from August. He said its mandate is to protect civilians and help stabilize the country and restore the government. Israel says it will release a number of Palestinian prisoners as part of an agreement made with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry to resume peace talks. The minister responsible for international relations, Yuval Stenitz, said it will involve heavyweight prisoners in jail for decades. He said the release of prisoners will take place in stages. Meanwhile, Hamas, the Islamist movement that rules Gaza, has rejected the announcement of a return to talks. U.S. President Barack Obama has said that Trayvon Martin, the black teenager who was shot and killed in Florida, could have been him 35 years ago. In his first comments on the case since last week's verdict, Mr. Obama said very few black men in the U.S. had not experienced racial profiling. The unarmed black 17-year-old was shot and killed in Florida in February last year by Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman. According to Mr. Zimmerman, 29, he opened fire on the teenager in self-defense and was acquitted of murder by a Florida court last week. In an unexpected press call, Mr. Obama said the pain that African Americans felt around the case came from the fact that they viewed it through a set of experiences and a history that doesn't go away. To end the news, the main points again. The National Peace Council has started conscientizing supporters of various political parties to accept the verdicts of the Supreme Court in good faith. The executive director of the West African Network for Peace Building, who is a member of the council, Emmanuel Bombande, serves on the sidelines of the National Peace Summit. Parliament has approved the request for some tax waivers amounting to €39,630,000 in relation to the second phase of the construction of the Adak Coastal Protection Work. Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Emmanuel Kuju Ejekum, has refuted reports that many municipal chief executives nominated by President Mahama have not been confirmed. And the AU is to form a 3,600 peacekeeping force to stabilize the Central African Republic. That ends the news from Radio Ghana.